Hey, it's Payne. I want to share a message from our sponsor, Spot Pet Insurance. Sometimes unexpected vet bills can hit hard when we least expect them. And if life throws you a curveball and your beloved pet needs urgent medical attention, the vet bills can start piling up. Enter Spot Pet Insurance, the ally you never knew you needed. Spot Pet Insurance plans can offer up to 90% cash back on eligible vet bills, providing a safety net when the unexpected occurs. Life can be unpredictable, and so are the needs of our furry companions. Spot Pet Insurance understands that. With Spot, you can focus on the things that matter, knowing that your pet has coverage to help protect your wallet from those unexpected vet bills. Spot Pet Insurance plans don't just offer coverage for unexpected accidents and illnesses. You can add their preventative care benefit to your plan, ensuring that routine wellness, vaccines, and more can all be covered too. It's a shield against the unexpected. If you have a pet, consider Spot Pet Insurance, because having the right resources at the right time can make all the difference. Just go to spotpet.com. Paid ad from Spot Pet Insurance. Waiting periods, annual deductible, coinsurance, benefit limits, and exclusions may apply. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company, and produced by Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners. I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering what happened. From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
If I can interview on the record with somebody who's been accused of some horrific crimes, I've often found that they want to talk. They want to brag about it in some weird way, some cryptic way. The folks who are best to make determinations about what the truth and falsity of what they're saying is are detectives who know the cases best. I've done a lot of cold case homicides. When I do track somebody down, get that interview, cold case homicide detectives who know far more than I do, I don't have their file. When they hear what that person has to say, right away, they see red flags. Right away, they're going, that's a lie. Ooh, that's not what we heard before. Ooh, that's a new detail. They hear more out of it than I. I am just reading them as most of the time trying to maneuver their way out of tough questions without directly admitting to anything. I've run into accused killers who are extremely bold. And I've run into those that are just flat out liars. It's not I that determines the falsity of it, but detectives, prosecutors. They can see small things that trip killers up. If they would find Crystal's body, I'm positive they would know exactly who to go to as their top suspect or suspects. They have suspicions and they have some evidence. A defense attorney, it wouldn't take much to say, maybe she's alive. Can't make a case. So finding her is pretty important. if you have suspects talking, those who know the case best are the ones who can make the determinations whether that person's telling the truth or not, or whether they're saying something that's new. It's all new to you, right? It may not all be new to the sheriff. I talked to a guy one time who was accused of killing a little boy and two women. I tracked him down in the Philippines. And when I interviewed him, I said, you know, you're the last person to see her alive. And he laughed and he said, yeah, I guess I was. Not an admission. Just a weird statement. Especially when you could defend yourself. But that meant a lot to the detectives, that statement, for example. I think the most maniacal killers are that way. I acquired the Ted Bundy tapes from the FBI archives from a source. Ted Bundy, just before they executed him, he's taunting the detectives right up to death row. He's telling them new details that they didn't know, tells the police for the first time. When he killed Georgiana Hawkins at the University of Washington, she was a sorority girl. He clubbed her over the head with a tire iron, put her in the car, and took her out into the woods and killed her. The next day, he came back on his bicycle to see the parking lot in which he took her from, and the police were there. And he drove his bike through the parking lot, and he saw her earring on the concrete, and he picked it up and put it in his pocket. And so he's telling detectives this just before they put him to death. He's taunting them, telling them that they missed something, that he was smarter than them to the very end. Creepy stuff.
From Tenderfoot TV in Atlanta, this is Up and Vanished. I'm your host, Payne Lindsay.
Hello, brother.
Hey, man, is this John?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Payne.
That's who he's recording. Are you recording this?
Yes, I'm recording this.
That's smart of you.
Throughout the course of our investigation, there's been one name that kept popping up. Catfish. According to the police report, Catfish was the last person to see Crystal alive, at least that we know about. As we've all learned, cold cases like this are full of rumors, and it was time to get his side of the story.
Listen, you understand my frustration isn't that I got some kind of vendetta against you or something. Like, I don't have that kind of mentality.
Right.
What I've got is I lived there for 17 years, and now I've got a bunch of gossip fucking tweakers fucking talking to me about how, why would I hurt the girl? I barely knew her. She's a rainbow sister. It's my job to protect her.
Right.
Where are you at with this? Why are you doing this? And why is this happening to me?
I have a podcast called Up and Vanished, and it's about missing persons. I have family in Colorado, so I heard about Crystal's story, and so I started looking into it.
Oh, well, how nice of you. So listen, here's how you know I'm innocent. I have yet to take the time to listen to one word of one podcast. You see what I'm saying, friend? I'm done being accused of it's the last crime I would ever commit, pretty much. Like, it's like up there with, like, I can't even think of one at the moment, honestly. You know what I'm saying? This ain't like a little bit of selling some pot in the park. This ain't about like some fucking, this is a rainbow sister who allegedly was all these bad things happened to her, which, first of all, there's been no crime.
What happened to Crystal?
I don't know. I've told the CBI, the Bureau, and the locals all I can possibly give them and more. Dreddy Brian did admit to doing something, but he could have been saying it to be funny or something like that. He's a weird kid. But he basically said he confessed and he did it. However, that I'm not able to get involved in that, I'm guessing, because that's called a federal investigation I would be interfering in. So unless you have some kind of like large amount of money, I'm joking, I'm not in this for the money either, but I'm not in the fucking mood for jokes. Like, I'm being harassed. I ran out of my own village that I built, man. 11 years I've been there with my kid, and now I'm not even with her anymore. Like, so this story about, we just want justice for Crystal's kid and stuff. Right. I do too, but you know what?
I mean, are you still friends with Brian?
Fuck no. Why would I be friends with someone after they said something like that?
Why aren't you friends with him?
He said that he'd done something that I would be completely against doing.
Which was what?
Look, this is my interview of you, sir. This is not your interview of me, respectfully. I hear your canvas. You're a good canvasser. You'd be great going door-to-door with Kirby. I do not mean to offend you. I am only
saying... You're welcome to ask me questions. I'll answer any question you have.
Leo, listen to me. Turn your recorder off if you want, then that'd be my question. But secondly, you're not going to do that. And third, I had nothing to do with this. Why would I tell you something that I wouldn't tell any of my friends? Why would I do something like this to begin with? What is it? And this hasn't even necessarily, hopefully nothing's happened. She's been missing 5 times before and shown up at Disneyland. Maybe we should check Disneyland.
Well, you know, I'm not accusing you of anything. I've never accused you of anything.
I don't give a shit what you're accusing me of, sir. I'm asking you, have you been slandering me on live podcasts for money?
No, I've never slandered you. I've only spoken the facts and the truth. I learned about your name because of the police report. Crystal was at your house around your birthday, correct?
I'm not answering your questions like that, sir.
Okay, who's that in the background?
You're in this for money. I'm in this for my life.
All I do is I play what people tell me, and I want you to tell me what you know, or what you don't know, or how you feel about all this.
Considering you're, again, asking me to interfere with a federal investigation...
I'm working with the family. Her daughter, Rodney, Amy, all these people, Mikey, they all want to know what happened to Crystal, and you're the last person to see her, as we know.
They know me, and they know I didn't do anything. So, it's like, but one thing's for sure is the Hoover administration likely has jurisprudence over that little situation there. As far as
what
who you're doing it for, who you... If I go against the FBI and hand you information that they're sitting on, likely because they know what they're doing and know how to do their job, I could be in a little bit of trouble.
I know about the Facebook message.
You don't have server-side date stamp.
What's that?
Nothing. I'm saying you don't have the recipient in, and you don't have Facebook's timestamp server in. Kind of like a being, like, basically it proves that, like, that they did, where it came from, it wasn't typed to the same person, you know, that is real.
So you're pretty good with computers, right?
No, not really at all. I'm a photographer, and I've lost all my computers and everything I own.
Didn't you give Crystal a $10 computer book?
If I did, I have no recollect of it. Oh, a book. You mean like a literary book?
Yeah, like a book.
I thought you meant like a you know, a Chromebook or something. I know that she was said to have taken one, and I'm happy that she did. It was a very small, very, what would you call it? It was like the T-ball or the kindergarten of exploring Wi-Fi networks. Basically, it was my name for it. So I don't remember the real name for it. Is How to Hack Amazon for $10 books on How to Hack Amazon. Like, it was basically about, you know, how to get a free Wi-Fi.
Someone told me a story about seeing you, some sort of van, gold, blue van or something, and what looked like a body rolled up in a shovel in the pouring rain.
This person's lying to you for certain. You're speaking with now is definitely not. I've never been in a van, gold, blue. She weighed, what, 200 pounds, something like that? Elway 140. We see that happening with a carpet wrapped up in it. Come on, man. And then I'm the one that has resources to leave there and stayed for 3 years.
From what I can tell, you were the last person to see Crystal.
Well, unless she's all alone and left all on her own, obviously that's not true.
Do you think she left on her own?
What? Sir, you might think I'm an idiot, but you know I'm not this dumb. Do you think that if I did something harmful to her, I would be the one saying that? Then who else said that? Because I sure as shit didn't say it, and we know that. If you had a badge, I wouldn't care. If you had it, I haven't even listened. Here's how innocent
I'm working with
this.
The family.
Hear me. I want you to hear me. I have not listened to 1 second of one podcast. I'm that innocent of it. You see what I'm saying there?
Crystal's family asked me.
I don't. What am I to do when I've answered every question I could over and over again, as honestly I could. Here I am exposing myself unnecessarily to things like that. And it's because I actually care also. But I care about my life as well.
Have people been treating you differently?
Brother, I couldn't go to town for 3 years because everyone looking at me going, that's the guy that I heard, someone heard, did it. No one told you directly that they saw me put somebody in a van, man. I heard them rumors, dude. It's all about, I heard, that so-and-so saw, that five parties once more removed. John did something that looked like he went and took the trash to the curb or something. I mean, seriously, I have nothing to do with harming her in any way whatsoever. And you need to understand that if you're ever going to talk politely.
On June 28th in 2016, Crystal said that she was raped at your house. Is that true?
She did not say this.
Yes, she did. She said it to Aura. Said to Eli, that's three different people.
That I don't know, that don't know me, and the truth is, it's not true.
What happened that night?
What night?
June 28th, 2016, went and picked Crystal up from your house in the middle of the night.
No, actually, she was scared of him and she left him to come for safety. Now, I sound like I'm saying some shit here, so I'm just gonna stop, but that's the truth from me to you. That's what happened.
Why would she make that up?
Because that little pink-haired freak was making it up for reasons of his own that I'm not to slander him on.
But did Aura make it up too?
And I don't know Aura.
The landlord. And then Eli.
I don't know either one of them.
They both told me that Crystal told them she was raped at your house on June 28th. Why would Crystal make that up?
I wasn't even there then. That was the week after my birthday.
No, that's July. Come on, June 28th.
Also, you know what, sir? Do you want to cut the check today, or do you want to cut this check later? Because honestly, you're making some shit up and falsely accusing me of it. I know both of them, and for a fact, they did not tell you that.
What are you talking about, cutting a check? What do you mean?
Like in half, because I don't want any money out of this.
What do you mean, like,
check? I don't want to earn off of this, like you sicko. I don't want to falsely accuse me of this. I don't want to sound like an angry person like I am, but I am telling you, I'm getting 50 messages a day or more of people saying that this guy is fucking slandering me on this podcasting, and I'm so innocent, I haven't even listened to the podcast. You're trying to frame me up for money.
I'm not trying to frame you, man.
Imagine someone you know and love coming up and putting that to your head in the middle of the night. That is a terrible thing to wake up to, and that's what's happened to me the past three years in a row. I wake up, people accusing me of shit like that. I mean, like this. Like people that were friends, I thought. Right. The truth is, everyone out there that's not, except for those that aren't, are all on man-made salt, talking about who do you think is crazy and how. Think about that for a minute. And these are going to be reliable and credible witnesses? Unlikely. A woman telling someone that she was raped at someone's house, anyone's house in particular, not mine at all, that I don't do that kind of thing. It's like one of the few crimes I'm against. I'm more against that one than I am the other one. There still isn't even a crime. She done been missing 5 times before and showed up at Dillard's. Maybe we should check them all. I'm not trying to be funny, sir, but I'm saying that, like, for real, this has ruined my life, and now you are attacking me. You are an official adversary at this point. If you wish my friendship, you need to come correct on some things and understand that I didn't have anything to do with this. I've been falsely accused. Joseph, like, the CBI knows this. A few guys at the FBI know this. I know a few of them guys. And not necessarily the best ways. But truth is, man, you done said, I don't know, what did you say about me that's got so many people telling me?
Literally all I did was I read the police report.
Like, because you're lying about people telling you, about her telling people that I raped her and stuff like that. You're absolutely lying about that. I know this for a fact.
I never said that. That's other people who said that. That's what other people
said. You're lying to me when you say they said that.
That doesn't make sense.
You're saying they said things that they did not say.
I recorded people who told me that Crystal said that she was raped at your house on June 28th.
And I did the Roswell incident with the fucking 16-gauge in 1920.
My first call with Catfish was interesting, to say the least, but not exactly productive. He was obviously angry that people in Crestone were suspicious of his involvement. But my main focus was on something different. Crystal's accusation that she was drugged and raped at his house on June 28th, 2016. Let's go through what Crystal's friends have told me about this incident. This is Aura, Crystal's landlord.
Catfish was the last person to call her on her phone, which was left behind in her apartment. When I started talking with her friends that were coming by looking for her, they all said the same thing, which was, she has to be at Catfish's. I mean, we're talking like 15 people all said the same thing. When I put the two together of her saying I went to this party and got drugged and raped, and then I heard all those rumors, and then she was headed over there as her last thing to do before she disappeared, it just leads me to believe that either something bad happened to her while she was there or after she was there.
And here's what the Crestone boyfriend told me.
She wanted me to stay with her because she had some fucked up shit happen to her at Catfish's. Like, she was trying to tell me that there was a bunch of people over there, but she couldn't remember. I've never seen her that scared. She told me that she was held there against her will. She thought she might have gotten raped.
According to him, this happened on the night of June 28th.
When I went and picked her up from Catfish's house on June 28th, after she got raped, she was very mixed up about it. I wanted to go to the police about it. I was trying to talk to her. She felt like she was too late, that she didn't do a rape kit or anything.
Since Crystal's been missing, he says that Catfish has tried several times to reach out to him on Facebook.
I blocked him because he kept trying to get a hold of me and stuff. He was like just trying to send me all this peace and love shit. I had known that he like raped her. I blocked his account.
But it wasn't just the Crestone boyfriend who knew this story. Allegedly, Crystal told her ex-boyfriend Eli too, the father of her daughter.
She told me all about that. She said she knew who was there, and she says she is positive it was them. And it was Catfish, Brian, and a third guy who she can't identify. She doesn't know. So it's fuzzy to her because of the way that they drugged her. They sneaked it on her. Like, she didn't know that they did that. It was fuzzy to her, but she knew that there was at least three guys there, and one was Catfish, and one the other one was Brian. The Dreddy Brian is what they call him.
Back to my call with Catfish.
I mean, it's like this, man. I mean, you can accuse people of a lot of things. But I want to know is what has been said on that podcast has got my friends so up in arms about this, I mean, figuratively speaking. Like, just saying, like, you know, just as in just saying. Ain't nobody threatening you or nothing like that. What I'm saying is that you don't do that kind of thing either.
I'm just trying
and
to ask
about it. And
we
definitely don't hurt our sisters. Like, that's the thing is, like, I barely knew her. Like, I had no involvement with her. We never even kissed. There was none of that at all. I thought she was a little bit cute. I would have definitely considered it and such. But the truth is, we just hung out, and that's the end of the story. That's where it begins and ends.
I'm just confused a little bit. Like, I mean, and I believe you. Just help me out.
Perhaps it's because it's none of your damn business. What's that?
You said that you didn't know her very well, but she hung out with you and drank wine and smoked weed on your birthday?
I didn't say that. I did not say that. You rewind that tape and prove what a liar you are. Sir,
that's what the police report says.
There is no police report, you lying mother... You are now... What is this called? Extortion?
I'll send it to you. What's your email address? I'll send it to you.
Where do you live?
I'll send you the police report.
You will send me the police report. Why the hell would they give you a copy of the police report when they've been ordered to stand down on it themselves? I have an executive order. This is bullshit. So yeah, I'll take it. I'll tell you what. I'll message you back. I just got home from like a 4-hour bike ride. All right, so I'm a little bit amped up. Let me send you an email in the next 5 minutes. I need to calm down and have a drink. Thank you.
I sent him a copy of the police report, written by Sawatch County Deputy Wayne Clark, which detailed his brief interview with Catfish a few weeks after she went missing. In the report, according to Wayne, Catfish states that he was hanging out with Crystal around his birthday, which is July 21st, and that they drank wine and smoked marijuana. And then the next day, Crystal got up and left, but she didn't tell Catfish where she was going. Catfish also said that he didn't know her that well. Perhaps one of the biggest allegations we've heard thus far, besides Crystal saying that she was drugged and raped at Catfish's house, is Catfish himself claiming that Dreddy Brian confessed to killing her on Facebook Messenger. He said Brian confessed in a message, and that he shared this information with the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. I called the CBI myself to confirm they had this, and they told me they did. But when I talked to Catfish, he kept telling me that he couldn't release it. He said he'd face a 25-year prison sentence for interfering with the investigation. That seemed a little strange to me. After all, the message was sent to him. He should be able to do whatever he wants with it. And this information could essentially clear him, right?
You're calling the Colorado Bureau of Investigation Identification Unit.
So I called the CBI again, and I asked them point blank if Catfish could share this message. And the CBI agent working this case told me yes. Catfish can share the message with anyone. Wow, that's amazing. So I reached back out to Catfish to share the great news.
Understand, I don't even get out anymore because of this. For like 3 years now, this is my only chance to have any like daytime or whatever. I'm skipping the thing, blah blah blah. I'm not normally such a sounding of a fucking freaky person. I'm saying that I am being harassed, stalked, blah 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 blah. You're making podcasts about me? I ain't watched 1 second of one of them. Don't you think a guilty person might want to consider doing so? No, if I had done it, I would watch it. I guarantee that. I do have iTunes.
I talked to the CBI. They said that you could give me the information.
Who at the CBI told you I could release that information to you?
Joseph.
Why did he not release it to you then?
I guess he couldn't release it to me, but he said that you could. You can ask him yourself.
I don't need him. You saying it's good enough. Me and Joe are good that way. Hey, Joe, if you're on the phone, by the way, love you, bro.
Well, I think we could clear your name pretty quickly in one episode of the podcast with that information.
Oh, my life's been destroyed over that situation once the person's accused of that.
Well, I mean, you have the proof, though, right, with the message from Brian?
Once a person's accused of some crimes like that, people don't ever remember if they were acquitted or maybe they had a good attorney or nothing, because I never considered anyone to ever be innocent of it once. Until this time here, pretty much. Maybe Cosby, because maybe she knew what she was getting into. I really don't know. Hell, maybe I let him fuck me for enough quaaludes. But all jokes aside.
Did Brian say that he killed her? Because if he did, then there, it's as simple
dude,
as that.
Dreddy Brian?
Yeah.
It's a direct confession, and I have server side and my end of my computer side.
Let's put it out there, man. Like, let's prove your innocence right now.
The problem is, I lost all my computers when I lost my home over this kind of crap. So I'm having to get back into an online storage thing. And listen to me here, friend. This is for real, like I'm being very real with you.
Yeah.
Why can we not release her real name?
What do you mean?
Makes me scared. I'm not afraid of the fucking like cops or like that.
I don't understand. Like, what is her real name?
I'm not allowed to release her real name.
What's her real name?
Catherine Weisenberg. And there's only six of them in the entire Census Bureau data that was available to me at the time I looked at it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I would kind of concur that's usually when I back the hell off of some kind of situation like that, considering it's some kind of Department of Defense thing or something. Honestly, it sounds a bit paranoid. So does the fact that I've been told by official channels not to release her name. A hippie chick wants to, you know, and I'm not disrespecting her at all. I am a bit annoyed. At this point, basically, I'm starting to try to teach myself not to care what's going on with her, okay? I'm going through my own personal traumas, okay? It's like this, but I hella care. But that's the curse of a caring person. Okay. Her name is Catherine. It could be Karen, like a Celtic spelling. Pretty sure it was Catherine. You understand, when I was going through this data, I knew who was coming to see me the next morning. Okay,
so she's a different person.
I'm guessing like this. Say you want to change your. No, it's, I don't think it's some kind of like. I don't think that part of it has something WITSEC type stuff to do with it, honestly, because they would come up with a more clever name. Then it's just a hippie version. What would Catherine Weisinger? That was it, Weisinger. Thank you, sir. Change her name to have a cool hippie name. It would be likely the name that's on the posters and stuff, which I donated computer equipment for to be made. So, I mean, anyways, but the point is that why are we sitting on our hands when there is a file saying that I am no longer a person of interest or suspect in this situation and have provided all information available, signed off by two people, sitting in a file while there's some motherfucker like you.
How soon can you get the file? If you can give it to me, man, I will put it out there for the world to see.
On an audio thing, you'll put it out for the world to see?
I mean, yeah, I can just read it.
I guess it was pretty funny. He kept bringing up the Facebook message, but when I told him he could release it, he had a different reason he couldn't give it to me. He lost his computers and has to log into some cloud account, or something like that. But maybe the weirdest thing he said was that Crystal had a different name, that Crystal Reisinger wasn't even her real name. What is that even supposed to mean? Apparently, he gained access to some super secret government files. Sounds unlikely, but even if it were true, well, where is she? And didn't Brian confess to Catfish that he killed her? How could both of these things be true? He went on to tell me that he's been in communication with some random people on the internet, likely trolls. To be clear, I have no idea who these people are, and there's no connection to me or Up and Vanished, but he found it pretty irritating.
Well, he's trying to shake me down using the same information you are. Oh, he messaged me today. Fish, you better run. They found a body. Where the hell am I gonna run? Why would I fucking even care, almost, other than I'm a caring person? Like, implying as if, oh no, you done caught me. I mean, I have about 50 people a day contacting me claiming to be working for you.
I can promise you that no one that works for me or with me has ever reached out to you but me.
No matter what we think I've done, I'd be out by now. And I claim time, sir, for all mankind, for all the hell I've been through, basically. Yo, I've considered fucking confessing just the prank at the end by going, just saying, and then showing them the information about who really said they did it. I did not do anything to hurt this woman at all. I barely knew her. She'd come over like twice. She was a bit crazy, like all of them people there, you know? I sound the craziest, but because I've been hunted like this. I'm talking hunted. For like 3 years, and no one managed two to break the glass and three to miss my ass kind of thing. Like, where are the vigilantes at on it? I will say this on free will here. Sure, whoever you got there with you is fine. You can hear this too often. They're agents, excuse me. If I thought someone I knew and like and lived near or whatever and said, first of all, no one has anything on me. All they say is so-and-so said that so-and-so said that so-and-so saw him take the trash out in an orange van or something. Do we see me driving an orange van ever once? Not even a Scooby-Doo. And it's, all these people were my friends and my family, I thought. I trust none of them. That was a peaceful, beautiful spiritual community when I moved there. And people smoked pot, ate mushrooms, things like that. Then the the other stuff, the smoky stuff, the whatever, the body, come through. And it fucking, I'm not blaming it, because what people do is what people do, and what you gotta do is whatever you gotta do. But this is just a disrespect to me, and I'm not gonna take it to the level of, it's, we just want justice for her daughter and stuff. I have heard that so many times at me.
We can clear you. If,
I don't really, I mean, I appreciate that. So can I, because right. Now I have permission to do so also. If you believe me to be innocent, then please do so. If you don't, then frankly don't. Because, like, I mean, I've, for the past couple of years, I've been wanting them to make me force myself to prove my innocence on this. Not to the point of being dumb enough to actually, like, you know, directly cause it intentionally, but by even talking with you against my counsel is the dumbest thing I could do. But it's like, it's not, to me, I don't really care much about retrospective or whatever it is, blame and punishment and stuff. What I do care about is making sure that whoever did it doesn't do it again. The fact that I'm telling you, Dreddy Bryan is accused me of hacking into his Facebook. And without commenting on that much, I said to him, hey, listen, why did you, like, okay, he's no one's blocked. I mean, he's never blocked anyone before except her sometime in July. I forget when it was, like July 18th or something. He blocked her on Facebook. Now about 1,000 women probably have blocked him, but he blocked one person one time in his life, and it was her. And I asked him, I said, so why did you do this? Don't accuse me of some hacking, some shit. It doesn't matter. He said, so then he said these words to them. I'm not going to say the words. Brian killed her, is what he typed.
Did he say, like, I did?
He used the words like you just said there, like that you did it.
Like, I see. Okay.
Yeah, that I'm definitely not going to be on the recording saying.
Yeah, no.
You see how that works?
I get it, yeah.
That's why the boys don't trust me to talk to you, kind of thing. And if you were going to frame up an innocent man using some trickery like that, well, I'm obviously under more mental distress. That's the only reason why I was willing. I thought I was going to have to climb back in their system to get their files because all my computers were stolen and stuff. But then I remember how they received them, which means they're still there. I just have 132 some files that I have to look through. And
could you get them to me?
I could. My internet is working overtime, defending itself from what I'm assuming to be a bunch of... So you don't know these people that claim to work for you? Couldn't we do like a 1-900 sex phone number? I'm not picking on your thing. I just haven't watched it. All I've heard is everyone calling me, telling me that this guy's accused you of this and that and stuff. And I like the fact, like, I want to watch it. I'm a little curious what you're saying.
The last episode I put in there what you said. Like, I said that there's this message out there that Brian sent that claims that he did it. If you have it, I promise you I will put it out there.
Well, like I said, I have about an hour and a half of daylight today that I haven't been outside yet to do. I need that, okay? Like, I need that more than I need the money, anything. And, like, the thing about the money with you is only because I know that my name is not just some name picked out of some kind of random thing, and there's a few different things involved, and I'm not shaking you down here. I'm suggesting you don't pay them much, but that...
So what would I be paying you for exactly? I didn't understand that part.
For ruining my likeness and my name, which is internationally copyrighted, yes.
Which one? Catfish?
Yeah, all of them, but yes.
Is that even possible?
It actually is when, I mean, I'm not the suit, man. I don't know, you know, like, but I mean, they say it was a movie about a band or something, and the band's cool, and I can, you know, that kind of thing, whatever. And the truth is, I could use some fucking scratch right now. But honestly, I was a photographer for most of my life, and they would literally starve these chicks for days before they gave them photo shoots. And some of them would get them hooked on things to make them look extra desperate and hungry. So those hungry eyes, those panda eyes with Selmer jeans, that's when I dropped out of that scene right there. Okay, this guy that messaged me, the reason I'm asking if he worked with you is he's messaging me saying they found the body. Like I'm supposed to all, oh no, or like, you know, as if I would know where, or I mean, it would sadden me that she's not still just high at the park or something, which I say rudely now, I realize this, but the truth is for all I know, that's what's happening, okay, like, except for the thing Brian said.
Do you believe Brian, or do you think he's lying too?
Brian's a total lying piece of shit, honestly. Why would he lie about something like that when we're in a heated debate on a Facebook messenger thing? And he says, all right, fine, fuck it, because I, you know, and he said that. And I thought to myself, I'm going to screenshot this and block him so he cannot redact it. And that's exactly what I did. And I've seen things about him, natures in him, fights he's tried at me, things like that. At this point, what I'm saying is, I mean, I'm literally considering some, like, really fuck around and find out kind of fucking, like, strength with it. Because, well, when I was first accused of it and stuff and told, oh, I'm facing, you know, 20 years in prison and all stuff, I didn't want everyone saying, but John wouldn't hurt a butterfly or, you know, a fly or whatever it was. And I was thinking to myself, I might actually not want to be that peaceful looking if I'm actually going in this skinny looking, like, that it might be a kind of like, yeah, and you know, like some kind of like a basically, I still have not been charged with anything. I haven't even tried to convince you really of my non-involvement in the situation.
You just don't have to, I guess.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be smart necessarily, though. The point is, I can just imagine for 3 years coming out of a town like that with I'm guessing everyone you talked with has done heard something that someone heard about someone they know. There's no firsthand anything, as far as I know, right?
Except for the message you have, to be honest.
The reason why they're still sitting on that, in my non-legal opinion, that doesn't mean it's illegal opinion. You know what, folks, my jokes don't have to be funny, but the fact that this bloke still got jokes is hilarious. Because I've been through hell. All right. And she wasn't there either. So like this. Well, put me back on track. I got real bad ADD and anxiety and such. What was the question?
Why haven't they just gone to pick up Brian? Like, what are they waiting on?
Because they can't do that twice. The situation with them not having any crime been committed, in the happiest way I could possibly phrase that, figured that's why they were sitting on it.
Because there's no body?
I'm thinking there's not. Yes, that's true, yes. It's true that I'm thinking there's not.
I actually just meant that they hadn't found Crystal's body. Not that there may no longer be a body. That was interesting. What do you think Brian did to her?
Honestly, I don't know what any man could have done to her, because quite frankly, she was not a small frame woman. She was not fat. She was not, but she was not, like one of them total, she was probably 5'9", 5'10", something like that. Check into this then. She won a lawsuit against him the day or two before she went missing. That wouldn't be a reason for me to act violently against anybody for any reason whatsoever. But for somebody that has that predisposition already, I'm not an abnormal psychologist, just like professor or anything, although I probably could get my PhD somewhere. Rather it not be fulsome. Like my uncle would try to take me hunting and stuff, and I wouldn't even go with them to deal with it, because I'm like, we got food in the refrigerator, you know, anyways, but I'm not all super squeamish. I'm just kind of not into blood and guts and gore. Sorry, drop the phone. I gotta go here in a second. But like, okay, what would he have done with her? You're the one that does this for a living. I'm the one who has never come close to ever once being accused of anything like this. Brian is a skinny junkie that's done a bunch of push-ups from being in jail for a little 6 months since here and there. basically like he has upper body strength to have fought her to maybe win, like if she wasn't in her full like faculties or something. But honestly, them two in a boxing ring and some gloves, she'd probably knock his ass out. Just saying that she was not skinny and small, like, you know, see, you play on this call. I'm not pretexting shit. I'm trying to get out the door in a fucking emergency hurry because I see this daylight fading from me. And the truth is, I'm getting dressed and brushing my teeth and getting ready to go out. And I suppose this kind of conversation does make me a bit uncomfortable. That would make sense as well.
Did you say that someone stole your computers and that's why you can't give me the message?
I am missing 4 Mac Pros from my house. Everything when I left, they stole everything, brother. If you're not law enforcement and you're not enforcement, me mentioning names about some of the people who slandered me is silly. Basically all of them. That's what freaks me out about Brian. That's why I don't know how to answer your questions so well. Is I was introduced to him, told this is good family you need to know. It was Christmas. And I said to him, well, why didn't I know you then? Just jokingly. And then I felt a little bit guilty with it being Christmas and stuff, and, you know, for being rude to him like that. So anyways, we ended up being so-called friends, I thought, right? Then he stole my mom's credit card for $16,000. I confess to that. I have a video of that somewhere. But it's all on, basically thought I was being clever with cloud storage. You know, when you over-password things and stuff and you can't get in from one account to get to the other damn account, so you can't prove you're in either one kind of thing. You know, when you hide your keys when you're drunk at night, basically, like that kind of thing. Not you personally, me. I know I'm your driver. That, not no more. All right, then fine, friend. I find new employment. I'm actually not crazy like that. I'm just under that much stress. That I'm really just trying to see some daylight today, man.
I asked him about Landon, one of the guys we heard from briefly in episode 6. Do you think he's involved with Ryan too? Because that's what I've been hearing.
People keep telling me that, but with the stuff I hear of myself, I'm hesitant to accuse the people that have confessed to it. You see what I mean? Like, that's why it's interesting, though, having the time server stamp of both, obviously, because...
You have to give me that. Like, it'll be huge to put that out there.
How can I earn off of this situation? It's kind of the thought that crossed through my mind when I tried to ask you for Bitcoin. It's like if there's over 1,000 people have done checkmate background checks on me alone in the past month. That's 1,000 people spending $39.95 to look up my name because you mentioned it on a podcast.
Well, we actually censored it.
I'm kind of thinking that so if you're not my problem with that situation, then I got a whole nother problem of a situation, because $39 times 1,000 people is $39,000.
Do you want to help me find Crystal too?
No. It's like this. Sure. But me, once they put me into it, like say, then mention my name and be involved or something like that, I wasn't exactly supposed to put on a raincoat like you wore as a little kid at the beach or something, metal flashlight, walking around the, you know, mine shafts or something like that, and going, I done found her. Do you realize how weird that would have looked? Where we claim there are a bunch of psychics that know me out there claiming to know, and they all got different stories. I can't ask you to drop this one because I'm involved in it, but if this was just a hypothetical situation, this is one I sure as shit would walk away from, but it's too late for you to do so, I agree. So let's close it up proper. And I need you to understand, if you'd be willing to, that it's not my job to prove my innocence. Not according to Congress or, you know, and that kind of thing. And it definitely, I am, if you knew me, like, I am the one guy that didn't do it, for sure. That's why I'm saying, like, yeah, I'm eating the candy bar on my way out the door, but the point is, we know I didn't say that. Like, we know that, no, I mean, I cannot imagine a criminal mindset of a person that would say something like that.
Wasn't she last seen at your house, though?
That's what I'm talking about, sir. Last seen
We don't know what month she went missing. What I was saying was we do know this much. I sure as shit didn't say that. So, like,
what was she like when she left? Like, did she say she was going to go somewhere or something? Or did she seem like she was going to meet up with Brian or something?
She wanted to go meet with some guy I don't know. Me being mentioned in this event didn't help me one bit, that's for sure.
I mean, that guy's probably what happened to her.
I know.
Do you think it was Brian? I mean, did she describe that guy she was going to meet?
Big cat. That was it. And that makes it sound like some alter ego of mine. I didn't remember this for a year or so after I was interviewed. So, yeah, it doesn't really speak well of me to be saying it now. I've been advised by like 4 attorneys not to.
Big Cat? Who on earth is Big Cat? Nowhere ever have I heard this name, and it's certainly not in the police report. Why is he telling me now? The bottom line is that all these things can't be true. Brian confessing to killing her, Crystal having some undercover government name, and now the last thing Crystal said was she was going to see some guy named Big Cat? But if the Big Cat story's true, then he may hold the key to solving this. Do you think that Big Cat guy and Brian are the people who did something? Like, I'm trying to make
a connection. I don't know. I can't imagine hurting someone over money or any other reason really like that. I could only hurt somebody if it was an immediate and direct defense of my life or someone else's, and I would still feel guilt and would have done confessed like then instantly about it if I had. They killed a sister of ours. The reason why they did it is not one question I'm going to ask. Jack Ruby had a minute and 45 seconds to run and didn't move his boots once.
I mean, Brian should pay for it then, you know?
How's he going to pay for it? By us putting him in the state, paying for his hatred? He won't last any longer on the street. For one, what if he was joking? As ill-humored of a joke as it'd be. Two, say, I kind of do think he did it at this point.
Do you think he was joking?
I do think he did it at this point. But say he's removed from the option, he's removed from the usual lineup. Who's next in line to accept that?
Big Cat?
I know you, sir, well enough just from our conversation here and all friends and games, none of that, to know that you don't really believe and care about paying for it. You can't pay for a life back. I mean, a person can try, like, I'll take $35 million, that kind of thing, but there's not a,
There's no replacement.
No. And this thing that I keep hearing about, we just want her child to have justice and stuff. Listen, if her child, at, 4 or 5 years old or so, is already vindictive enough to need to know who did it and punish them, then that scares me on a, like, you know, Chucky had children and they're real kind of thing.
I don't know. Like, when I met her, she was crying and she gave me a hug and she was like, I'm so glad someone's looking for my mommy. I don't know. It's kind of heartfelt.
Okay, see, I never met her. I didn't know her family. I only hung out with Crystal like twice. And apparently, I'm not going to say anything bad about her, but her and I never hooked up, nothing. It was a thought. She was pretty, everything like that. My father just came home. He's not going to like that. I was supposed to be gone an hour ago. Hey, Dad, I'm on the phone with the guy from the podcast. I just had to throw it all away for nothing, basically.
Hey, Dad.
So, look, sir, I need to go now. The reason that I don't care what they've done to her, kind of necessarily, and why I think it's sick that you think that her daughter should have to care, is that if your mother is removed from your life in a situation like that, God forbid that happened to anyone, at 4 years old, you're vindictive enough to need to know the name and place of the person. I mean, is pretty extreme to me. When the reason I would tell the truth and have been telling the full truth and will continue to.
I think she's just sad.
Right, but people keep coming at me with the same canvas of that. Basically, why would he do that? Is unimaginable to me. I mean, people have really offended me in my lifetime. There have been some fights I've been in, things like that. At no point have I ever gone out to hurt someone that I can think of, man. Look, if she was missing five times before and we found her at Dillard's every time then, maybe we should check belts. I mean, Where should we check now? It's destroying my life. I can't answer these questions right now. I need my daylight.
I don't want to hold you up.
You find out who did it for sure. There is no justifiable reason, whether she was talking to cops or whether she was stealing from people or whether she was doing anything at all. There is never a just time. My point is that there's never, the question of why was it done to me is, quite honestly, I see how identified you are from the situation. So you thought, until the copyright thing came up, but it's like this. Which I'm not against you on, friend. I do not want to spend the rest of my year in court any more than I want to spend the rest of my year in jail. So it's like this. But I would like some money. I'd like to know how much some files would be worth. Yeah. But no, I'm asking you if that sounds like a selfish thing to ask. I have every ability to watch a podcast or something. Okay. And have yet to see what's being said about me. Is not something an innocent person, a guilty person would do.
Wouldn't you want to know what people are saying?
Not when it's the same lies that are ruining me for so long now. And you gotta remember, she was a friend of ours. She was a friend of mine. And you've got theories, suggestions of what might have been horribly done to her. So it's like this. I'm great at either gate, really, but walking down the middle street with the 98, they're too afraid to freaking say what they know is true, and that's the nothing happened. Basically, I dig the hole for you, sir. That Brian it will pay for it either way, but say he were to be removed from the situation, hypothetically, then they find her somewhere a few years later, a few decades later, I don't know, right? Natural causes 50 years from now, and I'm down on my luck in a coffee shop somewhere. He's no longer available for the lineup, but that's selfish of me at this point. I've just been, I keep hoping that it's like all the other times she's been missing. I mean, a lot of missing people go missing. I realize that didn't sound that intelligent, but just because you know exactly why, but that honestly, sir, that a friend of someone, you know, just remove yourself from your own person here for a minute, but someone you know, love, and care about goes missing. And for years, you're worrying about it. You even accused of stuff. And everyone has come to me with every possible, like, I don't know every way a person can leave the earth, you know, can die or whatever, but I know there's things called, 10,000 Faces of Death, or things that I don't watch them TV shows either. But what I'm saying is, I've heard every possible reason that I've never even thought of, such as, a reason to buckle your seatbelt, reason not to buckle your seatbelts. Airbags kill people, too. Meaning, John, are you sure you didn't have something to do with it being asked of me by people that know damn well I didn't have anything to do with it? Teddy Bryan, I will have him meet me at a train station if you want to find the kid. And the truth is, he's a junkie. He'll meet you somewhere for $200 and a half a gram of black, probably.
Do you know where he is? I mean, I can't find the guy.
He came back to Crestone. I ran him right back out of town. He may have only made it halfway home. I'm not sure. But, yes, I'm joking. But honestly, that's part of what I was trying to explain to you earlier with the fuck around and find out kind of.
I mean, I think the big cat guy should be questioned, don't you?
I have leaked his name to the local bureau already a long time ago. Questioning somebody that they don't know a real name for, that has a similarity to mine, is not going to be taken kindly by me for that to be stood up right there. I never saw him. All she said was she was leaving to meet him.
For what?
I really don't feel it was my business to ask it in. But the truth is, I didn't see the guy. I've never met the guy.
What day was that? Like, around what day did she leave?
I remember the evening quite well. Go to hell, sir. What, I mean, seriously, what evening was that? I don't even know what month it is. Like, you want to reconnect with me? You give me this space right now, sir, or we cut it.
Okay, I'll give you the space. Call me back.
Motherfucker. That's what happens when you try to shake somebody down for $75,000, I suppose. Well, that's how I come at you, right? with a Bitcoin request for $75,000. Well, it's a pretty big harm to my life that's happening, and I could use a whole lot of come up money right now. But that was just what my napkin said.
Throughout all my conversations, he kept bringing up money and Bitcoin. How much money do I want? Stuff like that. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. And I myself never mentioned this once, and I'm clearly not in the business of sending or receiving money from him. I asked him again about the last time he saw Crystal.
She showed up. We hung out for a bit. She left the next day after she was upset on the phone about her rent or something. Anyways, and that's, to the best of my recollect, the last time I saw her. But I sure as can anything guarantee you that is the very first time I have said that to anyone. I mean,
was she mad about the rent?
She was very upset. She was actually very, very, very upset about it because she was being unjustly kicked out of her place from what I was hearing. I was in the background screaming to speak with the lectern, the woman who does the other thing.
So she couldn't afford it, I guess, right? Was that a money or something, or what?
I have no idea, sir. I barely knew her, honestly. I met her at a party, invited her over. She came over, that night or the next day. We hung out that night. We smoked some pot, drank some wine, things like that, and whatnot. And then maybe one or two other times that I hang out with her. That's all I fucking know, sir.
You knew her before that, right?
Is it's not your job to be harassing me after I said I need space. That's what I motherfucking know.
You can have it, man. It's fine. It's cool.
You know, it kind of would be until it happens to you. So give me this space before I say some cruel stuff, please.
Okay.
You find some evidence that says I've done it. You air it, do whatever you want to do, because there is none of it.
You have one unheard message.
Hey, my name is, I just got a message from somebody saying that my name was brought up with the Crystal disappearance, and that you were trying to get a hold of me. I'd like to clear up anything that was said.
I found Big Cat, and he wants to talk.
Vanished is an investigative podcast told weekly, produced for Tenderfoot TV by Payne Lindsay, Mike Rooney, and me, Meredith Stedman, with new episodes every Monday. Executive producers Payne Lindsay and Donald Albright. Additional production by Resonate Recordings, as well as Mason Lindsay, Rob Ricotta, and Christina Dana. Our intern is Hallie Bidal. Original score by Makeup and Vanity Set. Our theme song is Ophelia, performed by Ezra Rose. Our cover art is by Trevor Eiler. Special thanks to the team at Cadence 13. Visit us on social media via @UpAndVanished, or you can visit our website, upandvanished.com, where you can join in on our discussion board. If you're enjoying Up and Vanished, tell a friend, family member, or coworker about it. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Why, hello there. Welcome to Radio Rental. If you're new around here and haven't heard, I'm your host, Terry Carnation. On Radio Rental, we play tapes of the scariest true stories you've ever heard. That's right, we've got real scary stories told by the people that actually experienced them. We've got stories of paranormal peril, near-death experiences, stitches in the space-time continuum, and more. Stories like these.
This person was looking for me. They start to take these long strides towards me. I was freaking out.
We started seeing it everywhere we went. It would be sitting there watching us.
I've never ran so fast in my life.
And it's all set right here at Radio Rental. the video rental shop of your worst nightmares. Radio Rental is available now. Listen 1 week early and ad-free on Tenderfoot Plus.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.